This goes out to the AVS fam, to the crew getting ready at the Pepsi can. DJ Triple T banging thunder with the high jams. My dog Bernie Yan smiles in the West stands.
The ColoradoHockey.com podcast is brought to you by
FSFAM.com,
AVSFAM.com.
Big Z is signed, bitches. Did you ever really think Big Z wouldn't be signed? Come on, he was never going back to the KHL. He wants to play against the best players in the world. And guess what? Those players are the best of the best of the best of the best of high school. And the best of the best of the best of the best of college. And so on and so on. These are the elite of the elite. Anyone who calls himself a real hockey player wants to play against the best in the world to see how they measure up. And that's what he wants. What he also wanted was some money, which he got. So Big Z's getting a little over $2 million per year, which is pretty much what he was going to get anyways. They were fighting over about $500,000. They roughly split the difference, and he's going to be playing for the Avs, which is cool. Everyone was just doing their business, whether you're on the side of Sakic or on the side of Z. Fact of the matter was, this was going to get done, and it got done in a way that everyone can live with. Now Big Z can show up and prove that he deserves more money than that. And now Sakic can wait for him to prove that before he spends a lot of money on a guy who doesn't perform, which we've all been ranking him over the coals for. And if you would like proof that Big Z has hockey smarts, consider this. By holding out for one day of camp, he got paid the money that he wanted to get paid. He didn't have to do the testing that all the other players had to do, I assume anyways. And he had Dutchie running cover for him, so he wasn't the big pain in the ass in the media that everybody else would have made him out to be if they weren't so pissed at Duchene and trying to figure out what to do with him. Smart play, Big Z. Well done. And a quick reminder about Big Z and how he earns his money. One, he's never going to be a big-time goal scorer. That's not what he does. Sure, we want to see some points in there, and we'd like to see it get better every single year, be it a goal or an assist. Just some sort of point on the board is all we really need from him. But what he really does is disrupts the play. He makes people fear his own blue line, because when they start to cross that blue line, he thinks about sending them through the wall with his big old Z-butt. Do you know who knows about Z-Butt? Mark Schaefly. Yeah, he knows about it three times in one play because Z put him on his ass three different times in one play with the big Z-Butt. Here's a shirt, by the way, at AvsFam that wraps it up a little bit more eloquently with the Z-Train, not the Z-Butt. But hey, there could be a shirt there. You never know. The second way that Big Z earns his money is by staying healthy. Now that one's going to be entirely up to him, but I'd like to think he's coming into camp ready to go, well rested, and he's young, so he's going to recover pretty quickly. What we need to see from him is 75 plus games. Do you know how many players had a 75 plus game season last season? And we're talking just Avs here. Players on the Avalanche with 75 games or more. There was Mikhail Gregorenko, who's not here anymore, Mikko Rantanen, who had the most goals last season, by the way, Blake Como, who, I don't know, Blake Como. Matt Duchene, Carl Soderberg, Francois Beauchemin, not here anymore, and Nathan MacKinnon. That's not a lot of our roster, so we had a lot of guys who either didn't play because they sucked or didn't play because they were hurt. We need to remove all of that. We need all of our core players and even our depth players to play as many games as possible without getting hurt and without sucking. So, considering that Z is probably going to start the season with the Colorado Avalanche, I'd be shocked if he didn't, but I'm sure he is, then he should have at least 75 plus games, and I'd like to see 82. I want to see him be an Iron Man at the same time. I want to see him seek, destroy, and survive. And in the famous words of Forrest Gump,
that's all I have to say about that.
Last night, the Colorado Avalanche played a preseason game at the Pepsi Center that was, wait for it, televised. It was even on the NHL Network, which only cut out on me like four times, which is a record. The hockey game itself was a little bit ho-hum. There was a lot of things going on that you expect to see from the Avs of last year, but some of it carried over to this year. Now, understand, folks, this is only a preseason game, and these are not the guys who are going to fill out our NHL roster. These are the guys we want to have a really good look at, win or lose. Even if we go out there and we put up a goose egg, which we almost did, we need to know, can these guys play? What are they going to do in the big lights, the brand new big lights of Pepsi Center, and are they going to be able to perform at an NHL level? These questions were asked, and these are the answers.
Spencer Martin.
Spencer Martin is not ready for the NHL. He is a fun guy to watch. He has a lot of energy out there, but he's not consistent, and he'll let in a softy here and there. A softy when it matters. If we're playing the blame game, we could say that it's not all his fault, that a lot of his players on the ice let him down. But at the end of the day, we need goalies that find a way to keep that puck out of the net. I don't care if it's voodoo. I don't care if they're using Jedi mind tricks. At the end of the day, no matter what happens in front of them, they find a way to not let the puck get by them. It's great if you have awesome defense, but you know what? We don't. So we need a goalie who can stand on his head. We need a goalie who knows magic. We need a goalie who knows voodoo. We need a goalie who's not going to let the puck in the net more than once or twice a game. Unfortunately, Spencer Martin is not that guy. Not yet. Probably won't be at any point.
Duncan Siemens.
The coaching staff for the Colorado Avalanche and all of the fans of the Colorado Avalanche have big questions around whether or not Duncan Siemens can play hockey in the NHL. Unfortunately, the answer there appears to be no as well. I don't know if the moment is too big for him. He doesn't know what to do. He gets nervous, but he had a bad showing again. And I don't know how many more chances he's going to get to have a good showing. Understand, this isn't me being a Duncan Simmons hater. I like the guy. I really want his story to be, yes, he finally pulled it off, but unfortunately, I just don't see it. We've got too much young talent coming up, and he is just not performing at the level that we would need to see from him.
Carl Soderberg.
Speaking of not performing, Carl Soderberg doesn't really seem that interested in playing NHL hockey. He just kind of mingles around the ice. Every now and then he'll do a thing that looks kind of cool, but you know what he's not doing? He's not putting an all-out effort in. He's not putting a, hey, I want to have a bounce-back year effort together. Again, I like this guy. I like his story. I want him to do well, but he has to show up and he has to play tough-nosed hockey. He has to go into the corners and he has to try a little bit harder than he is right now. I want to chalk this up to him being a vet and him knowing when to spend his energy or not, but with the year he had last year, I think he needs to start spending that energy now in the preseason, even when it doesn't matter. Alas, I could go on and on. I could tell you all about the people who didn't perform as well as I would like to have seen them perform, but I'm going to skip that and go to the people who played pretty good hockey.
Nathan MacKinnon.
Nathan MacKinnon was Nathan MacKinnon. He was fast. He skated around. Sometimes he overskated the play, but he did well enough to put a goal in the net, and he had a couple of really good passes to set up people like Kerfoot. It's funny, I've been paying attention to what people are calling these new guys, and a lot of people are calling Kerfoot
Littlefoot,
which is appropriate because he's not a big guy, and that's funny as hell. So here's the thing about Kerfoot, or Littlefoot, as it were. He's not a big guy, but you don't have to be a big guy. You can have a big guy state of mind and still play some damn good hockey. Look at Ty Domi. That guy took on the world at, what, 5'8"? Also, we are not expecting to see Kerfoot go into the corner and battle with dudes too much. We're not seeing him in front of the net slugging it out with somebody. He's not there to play a super physical game. He plays a physical game, enough of a physical game anyways, to do what he needs to do. What we really want from him is that crafty hockey state of mind, that guy who's being creative, that guy who's finding ways to put the puck in the back of the net, whether it be a shot, a tip-in, a deflection, or even just passing it to the twine. I'm not mad at Kerfoot, not like some people are yet, but I'm also not 100% sold. He, like many of the other people on the ice, I need to see continue the conversation with the Avs about having a spot on this roster. I want to see these guys go out there and compete harder and harder every single game. This was the first preseason game. I expect to see double the effort and people going balls out in the next game. Why? Because this is their jobs. They should go do that, and many of them won't get another chance to have this job. So if you want it, you got to go take it. You can't play not to lose. You have to play to win.
Hashtag motivational.
And while we're on this conversation, one more thing. I don't give a shit if he went to Harvard. That doesn't make him smarter than anybody else out there. He comes from an awful lot of money, which may have got him into that school too. But as far as the announcers go, I'm over this damn Harvard thing. These are hockey players. They have a different kind of smarts, and many of them are way smarter than you're giving them credit for by saying, ooh, this one went to Harvard. He's smart. The rest must be dumb. But enough about all that. Let's talk about something way more fun. Actually, it's not. It's really stupid. It's the new rules. I know that every year there's new rules and people are like, oh, I hate the new rules. They're really stupid. But this face-off rule has got me really scratching my head. I don't quite understand what they're going for. I get what they're trying to solve, but the way they're doing it just seems more like they're hazing the players than they're actually improving the game. They're like, hey, we're going to change something, but until then, we're going to torture you by calling some weird rules about whether your toes are over the line or not, or if you came in too quick, or if you're invading somebody's personal space. I kind of get what they're after, but I really don't think that they're implementing it the way that it makes sense. And you know what? They're not going to call it this way throughout the year. And even if they did, they definitely won't be calling it this way through the playoffs. And that's what the league needs, is to be consistent. It's all the players are asking for. They never like any of the changes, but every time they say, you know what? Just call it the same way for both teams throughout the entire game, throughout the entire season, and throughout the entire playoffs. One of the rules that I do like is that they're going to start cracking down on people taking advantage of offsides reviews. Coaches do it willy-nilly. They do it because they want a rest for their players, or they do it because, you never know, maybe the refs will go cross-eyed and see something that isn't there, or maybe they'll just get a bad call and it'll change the game. So it's a little bit like in the WWE of old days, when the Iron Sheik used to beat up on somebody and the ref would turn away after he was yelling at the other guy, and then another guy would jump in and hit him in the head, and then the ref would look back and everybody go, boo. It really is that silly. It really is like that at this point. So by crackdown, I mean this. Imagine you're a team and you're in a 2-2 game, and then your team gives up a goal, right? First thing as a coach you want to do is slow things down. Let's call a timeout, maybe. You also want to have that thing reviewed if there's any hope that it could be overturned, or even if there isn't. So a smart coach of last year would totally call for a review. There's nothing to lose. Maybe you get lucky and you get that thing overturned, but at the very least, you get yourself a little time to get your team back together. But now, if you're calling for that review, you better be damn sure, because if you're wrong, it's going to cost your team 2 minutes. So guess what? You got a goal scored on you and you have a 2 minute penalty to kill off. There's no hope of you getting back the game. They've really just kind of upped the ante on this. They're like, you want to gamble, bro? Okay, but you're gambling against the house and we're going to double down on you. You better be right. Otherwise, we're stealing your soul and 2 minutes of your life and the game. And in a further attempt to put gray hair on every coach in the NHL and piss off the players, they have decided that you are no longer allowed to call a timeout after an icing call. You have to put the tired guys on the ice right away, and then they'll probably get called for a face-off infraction and there'll be a penalty. But either way, these are the new rules, and the NHL is pretty sure it's going to make their game awesome and it'll overtake the NFL and even soccer. And from things that change to things that do not, guess what? Hockey Twitter is in full form right now. You guys are going nutty already. It's the preseason. Come on. We don't need to kill anyone just yet. We're just going to watch them for a while and see how they do. Just think of it like a cat who caught a mouse. He doesn't want to kill him yet. He just wants to roll him around for a while. Let's just watch and see what happens before we go killing everybody. And let's see if we can make it through a whole season without being mean to each other. We could be mad at the game. We could vent and bitch and moan there, but we don't necessarily have to be pissed at each other, do we? Yeah, we'll see. It's hockey. You just keep being you. We'll just keep loving you like we do. Like we do. Like we do. This and every other show that we put on is brought to you by ABSFAM, ABSFAM, awesome hockey shirts for awesome hockey people. If you are one of those, you should get in one of those and you should go check it out right now. ABSFAM.com.
Stay awesome.